Welcome back to the Money Man Report. I'm Peggy Tuck sitting in for Daniel Frischberg. Coming up next hour, Carl Eggers. So you're going to want this phone number, 877-777-7713 is the number. But right now on the VIP line, I have Doug Roberts. He's the Chief Investment Strategist for ChannelCapitalResearch.com. He's also the author of the book, Follow the Fed to Investment Success. Now, Doug, the FDIC, of course, coming out, we're hearing more and more. I mean, we've known that the financials have been just kicked around and beat up. The FDIC, of course, coming out today, and it's got its second quarter reading on the banking industry, and their so-called problem bank list is up. I mean, it's now got 117 banks on there. It was only 90 banks in the first quarter. Are most of these maybe small mid-cap types of banks, or is this also including maybe some of the larger ones?
Well, it's kind of like across the board. It tends to be focused in a variety, in either two categories, either banks that overextended themselves or banks that are in kind of areas that have had problems, you know, that are, it's kind of like they're leveraged to an economic situation which is deteriorating. So those are really the two main sources of the problems that you're having in the banking industry.
How concerned should I be as if I have my money in one of these banks?
Well, I mean, right now the FDIC has had a very good history of dealing with all that. So unless you're above the FDIC limits, I think, you know, probably the federal government is going to be able to deal with it. I mean, that's one of the key things that our financial system is hinged upon. So I don't think they're going to let them go under. On the other hand, if you were a shareholder, I'd be quite concerned.
Now, Doug, of course, we are seeing this whole kind of credit crunch. It just doesn't seem to be going away. I mean, every time when we thought the financials were trying to kind of make a comeback, then all of a sudden it turned around again. Are there any good buys out there that you would identify, or would you be dipping your toes in the financials?
With financials right now, I use the analogy, it's kind of like a patient who's stabilizing, and just when you think the patient's stabilized, another organ fails. I think, the balance sheets themselves are uncertain. There's a lot of stuff involved. There's a lot of cross-collateralization. I believe that at least, usually if you look historically, financial problems of this magnitude have not been solved overnight. They take an extended period of time. So this would be an area that I would tend to shun over time.
Okay. More economic news that came out today, of course, wasn't so great, was the Case-Shiller report on housing. And, of course, home prices 15.4% lower in the second quarter than last year at the same time. We've been a little isolated from this situation here in Texas, more so than in some of the other states. But, I think we're starting to see a little bit of it ourselves. But, you know, I mean, mostly our home prices have kind of held up, or at least in the area I live. There doesn't seem to be an issue on that. But the housing bottom is still not there.
No, and unfortunately, I can't really be positive about that. I think it's going to be an extended period of time, again, if history is any guide, until we reach some type of a sustainable bottom. And even then, when you hit bottom, it doesn't necessarily mean things are going to rally. A good example of this is if you go back to the last similar housing crisis that we had in the mid-80s, really housing prices peaked in 1986. And they didn't come back to that prior peak really until 1997, a full 11 years later. They started to bottom and kind of bounce around for a while in the early 90s, but it was a good 5 or 6 years before they started rising substantially again. And I think we're in for more of the same right now. It was similarly driven. In that case, it was S&Ls as a financing vehicle. Now it's mm-hmm. mortgages and Fannie and Freddie. And those problems are not cured overnight. It's a big system, and you almost have to redesign the system. However, the sooner the government and the regulatory authorities deal with this, the sooner we kind of take a hit and restructure, the faster we'll deal with it. But housing has a way of regressing to the mean. Usually it rises at the rate of inflation plus 1% to 2%. And you also have to realize that the increase in housing over, you know, let's say the beginning of this millennium, mm-hmm. Just put us substantially out of the normal pattern of growth. And to get back to that, it's going to involve a substantial amount of pain.
Is Fannie and Freddie going to have to be bailed out?
I think it not necessarily bailed out, but I think in some form or another, we have to restructure the system. You know, again, you can kind of keep it operating and keep the patient on life support for a while, but the prognosis is still not good. And in that situation, what may be best for actually the housing market, since really Fannie and Freddie are kind of like a linchpin of mortgage demand and support, would be to address it directly, come out with some type of restructuring, even if it does involve wiping out the shareholders, so that at least we can continue on with the business. Kind of pretending that the problems don't exist isn't going to make it any better.
Now, Doug Roberts, of course, you wrote the book, Follow the Fed to Investment Success. Given in today's market, what would you be looking at to be buying and selling?
Well, this may sound kind of counterintuitive, but small caps. Because right now what we found is when the Federal Reserve adopts a very, very loose monetary policy, which are characterized by negative real interest rates, in which the rate of inflation is greater than short-term borrowing, which we are currently in. If it's in there long enough, small caps tend to do very well. Now everybody says, but you know, we have such a bad credit situation, we have such a bad housing situation, how can this be true? But if we take a look in history, in the early 90s, when the Fed started easing aggressively, small cap performance did quite well. Also, toward the end of the 1973-74 bear market, the Fed also eased aggressively and kept it that way for several years. So even though essentially the 1970s were the lost decade as opposed to the S&P 500, it really didn't outperform bonds and treasury bills. Small caps found one of the greatest rallies or bull markets in history during that time period. We also found something similar during World War II, and also when the markets hit bottom in 1932 at the depths of the Great Depression, small caps had, again, one of the biggest rallies in history. We've documented this, by the way, in the book as well, and we go through all these periods and show you how it works.
Aha. Are there certain sectors that you would be looking at right now?
I would tend to look more toward growth sectors, because we find the primary difference between growth and value stocks. Mm-hmm. Our value stocks are more dependent upon debt financing, whereas growth is more dependent upon equity. And because of the financial situation, borrowing under debt is very, very difficult to achieve capital. This tends to favor growth industries, such as we found with technology has done quite well, and although it hasn't been unscathed, it has borne up during the market turbulence and market volatility much better than the conventional larger cap financial stocks.
And of course, with what's going on, everybody's been watching what's going on between Russia, and that's having an effect on a lot of different things. Defense stocks looking like a good buy right now?
Looking like a good buy, but again, it's a volatile environment. We have to really see what happens with defense. It could, I think, in the short term, bode well for bulking up. But I don't think there's definitely, shall we say, the temperature has gone down in the world quite a bit because of the confrontation between Russia and the United States. But I don't think we're entering a new Cold War yet.
Okay, well, that's good to know then, because having remembered the other one, so that'll be good to know. Well, Doug Roberts, thank you so much for taking the time today to spend with us on Biz Radio. Chief Investment Strategist, ChannelCapitalResearch.com. You can go there. Check out the book, Follow the Fed to Investment Success. The website is followthefedthebook.com. And I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your insight into the markets today.
It's always great to be here, Peggy.
All righty. You have a great one and have a great Labor Day.
You too as well.
Thank you so much. When we come back, we're on the other side. We're going to talk to Jim Trapon, China Stock Digest. Hey, the Olympics are over. Now what does it mean for China? So we're going to find out after we listen to these very important messages on the Biz Radio Network. And And welcome back to the Money Man Report. I'm Peggy Tuck sitting in for Daniel Frischberg. Coming up next hour, Carl Eggers. So you're going to want this phone number, 877-777-7713 is the number. But right now on the VIP line, I have Doug Roberts. He's the Chief Investment Strategist for ChannelCapitalResearch.com. He's also the author of the book, Follow the Fed to Investment Success. Now, Doug, the FDIC, of course, coming out, we're hearing more and more. I mean, we've known that the financials have been just kicked around and beat up. The FDIC, of course, coming out today, and it's got its second quarter reading on the banking industry, and their so-called problem bank list is up. I mean, it's now got 117 banks on there. It was only 90 banks in the first quarter. Are most of these maybe small, mid-cap types of banks, or is this also including maybe some of the larger ones?
Well, it's kind of like across the board. It tends to be focused in a variety, and it's either two categories, either banks that overextended themselves or banks that are in kind of areas that have had problems, you know, that are, it's kind of like they're leveraged to an economic situation which is deteriorating. So those are really the two main sources of the problems that you're having in the banking industry.
How concerned should I be as if I have my money in one of these banks?
Well, I mean, right now the FDIC has had a very good history of dealing with all that. So unless you're above the FDIC limits, I think, you know, probably the federal government is going to be able to deal with it. I mean, that's one of the key things that our financial system is hinged upon. So I don't think they're going to let them go under. On the other hand, if you were a shareholder, I'd be quite concerned.
Now, Doug, of course, we are seeing this whole kind of credit crunch. It just doesn't seem to be going away. I mean, every time when we thought the financials were trying to kind of make a comeback, then all of a sudden it turned around again. Are there any good buys out there that you would identify, or would you be dipping your toes in the financials?
With financials right now, I use the analogy, it's kind of like a patient who's stabilizing, and just when you think the patient stabilized, another organ fails. I think, the balance sheets themselves are uncertain. There's a lot of stuff involved. There's a lot of cross-collateralization. I believe that at least, and usually if you look historically, financial problems of this magnitude have not been solved overnight. They take an extended period of time. So this would be an area that I would tend to shun over time.
Okay. More economic news that came out today, of course, wasn't so great, was the Case-Shiller report on housing. And, of course, home prices 15.4% lower in the second quarter than last year at the same time. We've been a little isolated from this situation here in Texas, more so than in some of the other states. But, I think we're starting to see a little bit of it ourselves. But, you know, I mean, mostly our home prices have kind of held up, or at least in the area I live. There doesn't seem to be an issue on that. But the housing bottom is still not there.
No, and unfortunately, I can't really be positive about that. I think it's going to be an extended period of time, again, if history is any guide, until we reach some type of a sustainable bottom. And even then, when you hit bottom, it doesn't necessarily mean things are going to rally. A good example of this is if you go back to the last similar housing crisis that we had in the mid-80s, really housing prices peaked in 1986, and they didn't come back to that prior peak really until 1997, a full 11 years later. They started to bottom and kind of bounce around for a while in the early 90s, but it was a good 5 or 6 years before they started rising substantially again. And I think we're in for more of the same right now. It was similarly driven. In that case, it was S&Ls as a financing vehicle. Now it's mortgages and Fannie and Freddie. And those problems are not cured overnight. It's a big system, and you almost have to redesign the system. However, the sooner the government and the regulatory authorities deal with this, the sooner we kind of take a hit and restructure, the faster we'll deal with it. But housing has a way of regressing to the mean. Usually it rises at the rate of inflation plus 1% to 2%. And you also have to realize that the increase in housing over, you know, let's say the beginning of this millennium, just put us substantially out of the normal pattern of growth. And to get back to that, it's going to involve a substantial amount of pain.
Is Fannie and Freddie going to have to be bailed out?
I think it not necessarily bailed out, but I think in some form or another, we have to restructure the system. You know, again, mm-hmm. you can kind of keep it operating and keep the patient on life support for a while, but the prognosis is still not good. And in that situation, what may be best for actually the housing market, since really Fannie and Freddie are kind of like a linchpin of mortgage demand and support, would be to address it directly, come out with some type of restructuring, even if it does involve wiping out the shareholders, so that at least we can continue on with the business. Kind of pretending that the problems don't exist isn't going to make it any better.
Now, Doug Roberts, of course, you wrote the book, Follow the Fed to Investment Success. Given in today's market, what would you be looking at to be buying and selling?
Well, this may sound kind of counterintuitive, but small caps. Because right now what we found is when the Federal Reserve adopts a very, very loose monetary policy, which are characterized by negative real interest rates, in which the rate of inflation is greater than short-term borrowing, which we are currently in, if it's in there long enough, small caps tend to do very well. Now everybody says, but you know, we have such a bad credit situation, we have mm-hmm. such a bad housing situation, how can this be true? But if we take a look in history, in the early 90s, when the Fed started easing aggressively, small cap performance did quite well. Also, toward the end of the 1973-74 bear market, the Fed also eased aggressively and kept it that way for several years. So even though essentially the 1970s were the lost decade as opposed to the S&P 500, it really did not perform bonds and treasury bills. Small caps found one of the greatest rallies or bull markets in history during that time period. We also found something similar during World War II, and also when the markets hit bottom in 1932 at the depths of the Great Depression, small caps had, again, one of the biggest rallies in history. Uh-huh. We've documented this, by the way, in the book as well, and we go through all these periods and show you how it works.
Aha. Uh-huh. Are there certain sectors that you would be looking at right now?
I would tend to look more toward growth sectors, because we find the primary difference between growth and value stocks. Mm-hmm. Our value stocks are more dependent upon debt financing, whereas growth is more dependent upon equity. And because of the financial situation, borrowing under debt is very, very difficult to achieve capital. This tends to favor growth industries, such as we found with technology has done quite well, and although it hasn't been unscathed, mm-hmm. it has borne up during the market turbulence and market volatility much better than the conventional larger cap financial stocks.
And of course, with what's going on, everybody's been watching what's going on between Russia, and that's having an effect on a lot of different things. Defense stocks looking like a good buy right now?
Looking like a good buy, but again, it's a volatile environment. Mm-hmm. We have to really see what happens with defense. It could, I think, in the short term, bode well for bulking up. But I don't think there's definitely, shall we say, the temperature has gone down in the world quite a bit because of the confrontation between Russia and the United States. But I don't think we're entering a new Cold War yet.
Okay, well, that's good to know then, because having remembered the other one, so that'll be good to know. Well, Doug Roberts, thank you so much for taking the time today to spend with us on Biz Radio. Chief Investment Strategist, ChannelCapitalResearch.com. You can go there. Check out the book, Follow the Fed to Investment Success. The website is followthefedthebook.com. And I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your insight into the markets today.
It's always great to be here, Peggy.
All righty. You have a great one and have a great Labor Day.
You too as well.
Thank you so much. When we come back, we're on the other side. We're going to talk to Jim Trepon, China Stock Digest. Hey, the Olympics are over. Now what does it mean for China? So we're going to find out after we listen to these very important messages on the Biz Radio Network.